We are privileged to have with us Darren Pound. Darren is a Nazarene pastor and missionary, and I don't know what other descriptions he would put with that. Work and witness leader, and served in the country of Belize, and that's where we met, and a group of our people had met him, and so grateful for his ministry there. I don't know that a team ever had as much fun, and I think they got a lot of work done too, I hope anyway, down there. I just thought it, for a number of years, it would be great to have Darren come. He's now pastoring in Temple, Texas, his wife and three daughters, and he is from the great state that starts with an O. Oklahoma, okay. Would you welcome Darren as he comes and shares this morning?
It is a privilege to be here with you this morning. Thank you for allowing me, affording me this privilege to share with you, to be here. Great to be around some familiar, friendly faces that I've seen down across the years in Belize, and got acquainted with a good number of your team members, and we did have a lot of fun and accomplished a lot of work, and God has been working in those areas and those churches, and continues to do so. As a matter of fact, one of the churches that your team last built in Belize, I just got word that they are growing to the point that they need an expansion, and so there's another team going in right after Christmas that will be expanding, doubling the size of their building, and they're in Machaca, and so that little church that you guys helped get off the ground is growing and going forward, and so you can thank God for that and continue to pray for the Mountain View Church. They're in their building and growing as well, doing well, but pray for the Mountain View Church that you worked on first, and then the Machaca Church, and just continue to lift them up. If you have the Word of God with you, and I hope you do, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the third chapter, and we pick up at the 20th verse. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 20. And it says these words. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Would you pray with me this morning? Father of heaven, thank you for this, your word. Thank you for the privilege of being here, sharing with the Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene, a very mission-minded church, and a church that has a heart and a love for you and for your kingdom and your church all over the world. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct us as we look to your word this morning, as we share and study from your holy scriptures, that it would speak to our hearts, that it would speak to us right where we're at, right what we're dealing with, and that you would help us. In Jesus' precious and holy name. And all of God's people said, if you gain nothing else from what I say this morning, I want you to gain and understand these three words. God is able. If you believe that, say amen. God is able, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Say that with me this morning. God is able. Say it again. God is able. One more time, like you really mean it, like you really believe it.
God is able.
To do immeasurably more, the scripture says, than all that we could ask or imagine. One translation says that he is able to do superabundantly more than all that we would ask, think, or even dare to imagine. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a very overactive imagination. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you that I live in the clouds. I think big thoughts. I like to dream big things. I like to be involved in things that are bigger than me, because that way people can look and say, well, there's no way that ding-dong had anything to do with this. This had to be God working through him. There's no way that he was able to accomplish what was accomplished, and it had to be God working in and through him to see this take place. The scripture says, beyond my wildest dreams, beyond my most outrageous imaginative thought, that God is able to do superabundantly more than all that we would ask, all that we would ever think about, or even those things that we would dare to imagine. Can I ask you, where is that boundary for you? All of us kind of have that boundary. And it seems the older we get, the closer that boundary comes. We only go so far, and we only let ourselves dream so far. And we come down to the world of reality. And maybe when we were younger, as teenagers, we had these grand and lofty dreams. But somewhere along the line, as we grew up, we got older, we kind of reeled those dreams in just a little bit. And we said, okay, well, you know, this is real life, and that was daydreaming, and that was lofty dreams, but this is reality. And all of us have those boundaries, and it seems the older that we get, the closer those boundaries come to us, and the more we try and live in a world that is grounded in reality. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be realists. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a reality. But the Scripture says that God is able to do immeasurably more. You know what that means? It means it's more than you can measure. I mean, that's longer than the longest tape measure. That's bigger than the biggest measuring cup in your kitchen. That is super abundantly more than all that we could ask, think, or even dare to imagine. This morning I want to tell you a little bit about a small mission-minded church in Florida. They gathered together for their monthly board meeting, and it came time for the treasurer's report to be given. That's always fun, isn't it? Count the finances, count the dollars, see how much we have left, see how things are going. And at this particular board meeting on 1 month in this little mission-minded church, the treasurer broke the news. We're broke. Now all the bills were being paid, all the bills were being met, the electric bill was being paid, the pastor was being fed, all the things were being taken care of, but they didn't have any excess, they didn't have any surplus, they were just surviving week to week on the tithes and offerings. God was providing, God was taking care of them, but they did not have any extra surplus. It was tighten the belt time. As a matter of fact, the treasurer suggested that they should set up some kind of savings plan. They should set up a surplus for emergency. What if the roof needed to be replaced? Or what if there was a storm that damaged the building? What if these things took place? Where would we have, or where would they have those resources? The treasurer said, we can afford to save $25 a week. So you can tell very quickly how tight they were. There's no surplus, no excess. But something happened in the midst of that time. This little church went on one of their first mission trips. Went on a mission trip to the Caribbean. And their eyes were open to a world beyond them. Oh, they had missionary services like every good Nazarene church does. They gave to the World Evangelism Fund. Their budgets were paid every year, and they gave, and they read the missionary books, and they had the stories, and they were a part of a mission-minded church. But all of a sudden, as they got on the field, as they began to meet and greet people, other Nazarenes in other countries, their eyes were opened. And all of a sudden, they could not ignore the real need outside of the four walls of their church. From that point on, they made a conscious decision to put Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 into action, which simply says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be taken care of as well. They began to seek first His kingdom. They put in together in their budget a mission organization called Kingdom First Missions, and they began with a dream. Pastor and the treasurer sat out on a park bench out behind the church one day, and they dreamed of taking an amount equal to their World Evangelism Fund. Whatever they paid in their World Evangelism Fund that year, they dreamed that one day they would have an amount equal to that in, so that they could use it on missions anywhere they saw fit, anywhere that God leaded them. They started going on mission trips on a regular basis and going back to this same country and focused on training leaders and pastors and starting new churches. And within just a couple of years at an annual meeting, the treasurer got up and he reminded them in this annual meeting of this dream that him and the pastor had had. Then he went on to report that in that 1 year, they had not only exceeded their goal of doubling their world evangelism fund, but they had exceeded it by 10 times in that 1 year. They went on to give 7 container loads of supplies, 4 vehicles, 4 vans, 4 buses, 26 motorcycles, 23 of them brand new, sponsored and helped to support 3 missionaries, sponsored an internet high school, built a campground, donated over 3,000 Bibles, put solar electricity in 8 churches and 3 parsonages, and helped to finance the salary of a minority pastor on their district, in their own local district. And during a 4-year period, this small local Nazarene church gave $999,876 to missions. Amen? How? Because God is able. For those math wizards out there, that's just $124 shy of $1 million in 4 years. How do you go from saving $25 a week to giving over $250,000 a year to missions? Only because God is able. Understand that this was above and beyond their local expenses, their staff, their budgets, not to mention the $450,000 building project that they paid cash for during that same period of time, and still gave $1 million to missions. How does a church go from saving $25 a week to giving over $1 million to missions in just 4 years' time? Because Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which simply states that God is able. If you believe that, say amen. Well, some would say, okay, well, this had to be a large church. But during this period of time, it was a church of about less than 250 people. You say, well, okay, there had to be some large donors. Well, there were a few. But over half of $1 million was just the participation of everyday average people giving to missions. A young couple went to the pastor one day and they said, "Pastor, we just sold a piece of property. And we just love what the church is doing for missions. And we feel like that we want to tithe our sale of our property towards missions." You don't often hear that, do you? Oh, we sometimes give tithes and offerings of our paycheck, but what about a sale of that property? And they wrote out a $20,000 check and left it on the pastor's desk and said, "Use it any way that the Lord sees fit." No strings attached, no instructions, no directions, no plaque in their name, no recognition for them. It was just quietly and unnoticed, wrote out a $20,000 check and walked out. I don't know about you, but it begins to remind me of the book of Acts. But it wasn't just that local church that received the blessing. The churches and the leader in the country in which they were serving and sharing was blessed as well during that period of time. And as that church partnered with that country, the churches, the district went from 35 churches, 31 organized churches and 4 mission churches, to today they have over 70 churches on that district, 57 organized churches, 13 missions. They went from having 18 ordained elders, and they went for a 20-year period not having a single ordinand in that country. They went from 18 ordained elders, now they have over 36 ordained elders. Went from 6 district licensed ministers to 24 licensed ministers. And as a result of this 5 to 6 year partnership, the growth that happened in the years that followed, the district has doubled in all of these areas, and some quadrupled. And now in this very assembly coming up, they have decided and voted to create a new district. The country will have 2 districts, a northern district and a southern district, to keep up with the growth that is taking place. Can I ask you a question? How does that happen? because God is able. Amen? God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, think, or imagine. But there's a catch here. You knew there was going to be a catch, didn't you? You did? This means yes, this means no. You knew there was going to be a catch. There's a catch here. In verse 20, it says that he is able to do immeasurably more, and it's according to his mighty power. It's not your power, it's not my power, but it's his mighty power at work. And here's the catch. Here are the two little words. Underline them in your Bible if you're so inclined to do so. In us. His mighty power at work in us. That's how God is able to do immeasurably more. It's through you and I. It's not through extraordinary people. It's just ordinary people that God adds the extra and does extraordinary things through them. It's just everyday folks that love God and love missions and love His church and love His kingdom and love people and want to reach out, as the pastor prayed, at the locker next door or the cubicle beside you or in the grocery store checkout, the lady that you meet, the barber shop. It's the everyday folks that you come in contact with that God wants to display His power and work in and through you. Those of you who have been to Belize, you know that we don't have the very best roads in Belize. Pastor Wayne got the privilege of driving an old rundown bus, school bus, that had died three times before they sent it to Belize, and over some of those roads. We have so many potholes in Belize that even our potholes have potholes. We got one pothole that's 54 miles long. Call it the Hummingbird Highway. I'll never forget one time in which a church had sent us some supplies. And it came in a container, and I was there to receive these supplies and this load of goods. And one of the things that was in there was an old SUV, a little Mitsubishi Montero. It had been donated by somebody for the mission work. It was at a time in which we needed an additional vehicle for the mission work down south. And somebody laid this on God laid this on somebody's heart. And they donated this little SUV. And it was loaded in a container. The problem was is that when it was loaded on the container sat on the ground. Shipping container, and so it only had about 4 inches from the ground to the floor of the shipping container, and so they drove it in there and put a block of wood there and drove it right up in there, tied it down, loaded all the other stuff around it, and then when we got it to Belize, it was loaded off the ship by crane, the shipping container, and placed on a container trailer and hauled down to southern Belize. The problem was that now, as a result, it stood about this tall, almost 4 feet off the ground. And so we needed to try and figure out how to get it out. Everything else had been loaded up, unloaded from the shipping container. And here sat this Mitsubishi Montero in the back of this truck. Truck drivers, they knew a couple of people, but it's not like up here in Pennsylvania. It's not the opportunities they have. They don't have loading docks everywhere. They drove to two or three different businesses that they thought they had a loading dock. They found one that had kind of a ramp to it, but it was all high bush behind it, and so there was no way to get the truck there to it. And so these guys decided to pull off on the side of the highway and just back down a ditch. Now, you remember, this is not your average highway. This is not some of the nice highways that you have here in Pennsylvania. It's one of those just kind of a worst two-lane road that you can imagine here in Pennsylvania. That's a Belizean highway. And so they just backed off in the middle of the highway and blocking half of the highway and back down into this ditch on the side of the road to unload this truck just in the middle of the highway. Well, they got closer, and it got about a foot off the ground, and probably still about 2 feet away from clearance there, from the back of the trailer to the edge of the little hill, the ditch they had backed down into, and it was still not coming off. Well, these guys, they were paid to do a job, and they were ready to get home, and they were ready to go home, and so they started talking about, they wanted to get this thing unloaded, so they started talking about Dukes of Hazzard. Back it up to the back of that truck and just gun it as fast as you can. Here I'm trying to imagine how I'm going to explain to the donors that donated this mission vehicle that we had just torn off the front end of the whole radiator was driven into the because we were jumping it out of the back of the truck. I said, well, I don't know that that's really going to work. About that time, the driver, he started to hail, and that's kind of flagged somebody down, hail a friend on the highway, and it was a guy driving a big old trash truck. That's not a typical trash truck like you would see. It's just an old flat body bed truck with stake sides on it. And they kind of talked back and forth. And he said, hey, do you have any lumber up there? We're trying to unload this SUV. He said, there's some pieces right on top. Now, I'm here to tell you, if I had gone down to Lowe's myself, we don't have shopping like we have here in the States. My wife, if she goes grocery shopping, she would have to go to this place for canned stuff. She'd go here to the open market for fresh vegetables. She'd go to this place for food and meat items. And it was an all-day adventure to go grocery shopping. And so a lumber yard is far and few between. And they'll cut lumber on the side of the road. And it's not like going to Lowe's and getting everything that you need right there in one-stop shop. But if I had gone to the lumber yard myself and picked out four more perfect boards, I couldn't have done it. Because right on top, there were four boards that I lined up and laid down perfectly, the perfect length and the perfect width and the perfect thickness. And we literally drove that SUV right off that back of that trailer in the middle of the highway, in the middle of nowhere, in southern Belize, in the middle of the afternoon. I told the driver that he was an answer to prayer. I told him he came at the right place at the right time. He said, well, my name is Jesus. So that was the time that Jesus was driving the trash truck in southern Belize. But how does that happen? How does that take place? I'll tell you how. Because God is able. Amen? To do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, think, or imagine. And He is able to work in and through us. I don't know why He's chosen to work through us. It seemed to me there should be a better plan. But His plan is to display His immeasurable power at work in your life and mine. That's His plan. That's what Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says. And God is able to work through you and me. But it's not just about paying our World Evangelism Fund and thanking God for the missionaries. It's not just about attending church and putting a few dollars in the offering plate and thanking God for the great pastor and the great staff and the great church that you have here. It's realizing that God wants to work through you and through me. And it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what situation you have. It doesn't matter what you're up against. That God is able and wants to work through you. It doesn't matter if you're 8, 18, or 80. Or anywhere between. God wants and desires to work in you and through you. And to display His great power at work in our lives. But we must remember that God is able. You might say, well, preacher, these are great missionary stories. I don't know about you, I love hearing missionary stories and about what God is doing in China, Africa, or some other foreign country. I'll just let you in on a secret, I've saved some of the best stories for tonight. I'll share those this evening. But it's more than just foreign missions. Because the very same God that was able to work in this church like He did in South Florida, the very same God who works miracles in South and Central America, the very same God who is doing mighty and phenomenal things in the Horn of Africa and in Bangladesh and India and all over the world, the very same God that works and delivers things at the right place at the right time just when His people need it, is the very same God who wants to work here in North America. It's the very same God who is able to work out your physical, financial, relational needs right here in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. And if we will let Him work in and through us, God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, think, or would even dare to imagine. So whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling against this morning, whatever you're facing this you faced this past week, or whatever is knocking on your door this week coming, or in the months to come, or in this new year coming up quicker than we'd like to admit. If you gain nothing else from anything I've said this morning, gain these three words: God is able. God is able. One last time, like I really mean it, like I really believe it. My God, your God, our God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ever ask, all that we could ever think, or all that we would ever even dare to imagine. God is able. If you believe that this morning, say amen. Amen.
Thank you. I wonder what God wants to do in you and in me, as you spoke this morning about in us. I was reading in the translation I have, within us. I realize that God's call to us is not just as a group, but it's individually. And every believer that's here this morning, God has something to do in us and through us and with us. And He's able to do that. We're not able to do that on our own, but He's able to do it for us. And I'm thankful for that. God is able. So the question is, what is God saying to us about what He wants in our hearts and our lives and our spirit? I wonder if you'd stand this morning and we could have a time of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this scripture that reminds us that God is able to do more than we can probably think about or give Him credit for or even imagine in our minds of what You are able to do, and that You desire to do it through Your people. I thank You for that call this morning. I thank You, Lord, that You use circumstances and events and people that we might not ever imagine to accomplish great things for Your kingdom. I pray, God, that we would be people of faith who are seeking, Lord, today to be used of You, seeking to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world around us. And whatever it is, wherever it is, whether it's through our own hands or through our influence or through the blessings and the material blessings that You've given us, God, that we would be willing to be used of You. I pray, God, that we would know that each one of us individually, are known by God, and You want to work in us to accomplish Your will in this world. Help, I pray, God, that missions would be something that would be individual for each one of us, and we would be praying and saying, God, how do You want to use me? How do You want to use me at work? How do You want to use me with my neighbor? How do You want to use me at school? How do You want to use my life and my faith and my attitude to influence other people for You? Help us to have that heart and that desire for missions, God, I pray. Thank You for this word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You, God, for the call to be seeking after a God who is able, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.